This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's reportedly do it live on a Thursday edition. Merely Bo, the great Z. Look at you. Looking good, Billy Ray.
Oh, yeah, feeling good, Lewis. You know, you got a little homage here, a little crew neck for the people. I have this
also elasticity, on the boys, down there in Columbus. Let's work on the elasticity. That's
my crew. I like this, though. What's happening here?
Oh, that's gorgeous, yeah.
And when you wear a crew neck, then you get the chain, the lady guy, you popped out there.
You look like Maltasanti.
I've turned into it, man.
You got her around the neck, around the wrist.
Yeah, it's from the Hof.
I know. I remember the Hof. I was in line for that. I thought that might be kind of cool. I'm not a big jewelry guy, but I thought that might be kind of cool. And there was a line. And that, well, I'm not going to sit. I don't think I'm going to stand.
I think it's fair. By the way, prior to the Hof's party, I'd never worn a bracelet, like, other than, you know, like a rubber cause bracelet or something like that. I've never worn a bracelet, and prior to this Christmas, I never worn a chain. So here I am, 45.
Here you are, baby.
Not a midlife crisis. Everybody calm down. Not a midlife crisis.
Bootsy gave me this one. It's just blue and red, and it just says touchdown. He gave it to me for, like, I can't remember if it was, like, for coaching him this year or something, like something like that. He's like, here, Dad, I got this for you. So I've had it on ever since. It just says touchdown.
At least you, and I don't know if I'm phrasing this properly. You did not have to. I won't say at least you did not have to. I'll say you did not live through the rainbow loom phase.
Is that the weaving thing?
The weaving little rubber bands.
Oh, okay. You remember that? NBC made them for me.
Dude, and I had
a thousand of them that we
I looked like Mr.
Like,
T.
You and I have been doing this show a long time.
Yeah, we have. I was like Mr. T of the arm with those rainbow looms. Man.
There was a lot of those.
I was pitying the fools.
Because they would sit there and do it, and then they could do it. Like, he got to the point where he could do it like, it was like almost like a circular.
It
started out, they were just flat, and then
that
was NBC probably
fishtails,
like, I'd say circa 2019.
Okay, yeah, that's maybe.
With you and I would have been here.
Yeah, sure.
It's been five years.
It was the point where, like, if I were to have clotheslined somebody with my left arm, that like it would have been like a trampoline effect. My arm would just bounce right back. Yeah.
Oh, that's very good.
By the way,
last night. Let's hear it.
The official Nana.
How's Nana doing? She good?
She's good. So she sent Kathy, the lady who had those greyhounds that she affixed the fake package to, she sent her the audio of the stream, and the lady was laughing, Kathy, and then turned into this whole, like, just takedown of young me.
Why? What'd you do?
Okay. In my recollection, I was brought there to mow the lawn. That's what I did. That was a job.
Now, were you dodging whippet markings?
They were full greyhound.
Oh, they were greyhounds.
Yeah.
So did you have to, like, take care of the droppings, or did they?
Most of it was gone. That
or
wasn't.
You just blow over it?
No, I had to take care of droppings at my own home.
Right.
I'm not here for somebody else's droppings. So meanwhile, she sends her the thing, Kathy thinks, she's like, well, it was really funny was the time that my mom has this vivid memory of me going over there to do the hedges. And then I had never, like, trimmed hedges before, and so we had this electric, you know, hedge trimmer. And instead of going, like, across the top, I was growing up and down, and it was, like, chaos. And my mom was telling the story to Arden.
These?
Oh, and then they were making fun of my car because
– The Nova?
The 73, yeah. So my cousin installed speakers in a stereo system poorly, okay? First, like, you'd open the door, the speaker would fall out of the door. Like, yeah. Not well. And the car's engine oftentimes would not stop turning over even when you had gotten out of the car and turned it off. And so you could hear his music and his car backfiring and the engine, blah, 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 for miles away. I'm like,
have a little grace. You supplied me with the car.
Have a little grace for me.
Like, you could have upgraded it, Nana, at any point.
I had to take it to Earl Scheib so that it wasn't baby diarrhea yellow and get it into a nice maroon metallic.
That's right.
Hubcaps from Kmart.
Let me ask you a question.
The kids.
Did you, of course, did you paint the inside of it or did you just leave that?
But Earl Scheib doesn't do the inside of the car. So when you open the trunk, the inside of the trunk was still that color. When you open the door, the door jams are still that color.
You go to Scheib and they always do the outside.
It's the outside.
That's all we do is the outside.
We don't do the inside, brother.
Sorry, Earl, could you do the inside? No, nope. No, we don't do that.
We don't do it.
We just do the outside.
Yeah, so
you got to go somewhere else.
And then I had
go to Jim Scheib. He does that.
Go to Jim. Maybe it'd be like Irish Scheib because E for Earl exterior. You needed interior Scheib.
He could get it done. He does the inside.
And I had the bench seats with this like faux sheepskin like thing that sat over, which was not my purchase either.
No,
it was man.
But look at you.
Look at me now.
All worked out.
But she was telling Art in these stories
last
night at the kitchen table while I was making a great minestrone. I got a great minestrone recipe.
Oh, I like this.
It was outrageous. I'll give it to you later. But she was telling the story to the point where she started laughing so uncontrollably that she was crying, doubled over. Arden's laughing now because not at what my mom was saying. She's laughing at my mom's.
Just having the time of her life, yeah.
Like, there had never been anything funnier than me trying to trim hedges or my car backfiring and being a jalopy. Like, I'm just a kid out there trying to mow lawns
and get the best of it.
Few extra bucks so I can go buy a great big Bertha.
That's all you're trying to do?
That's all I was trying to do.
You can't understand if you're not a certain age. I don't think it's a big deal anymore. You'd have to ask the kids, Uno and Ocho, how big of a deal the stereo in your car was.
Oh, my God.
Like, there was a huge industry.
Huge.
About going, you go to Speaker City, and you get outfitted with an Alpine stereo. You throw what do you got in the back of that thing? What kind of, you got a little subwoofer in the back? Oh, yeah. Yeah, what, I got such and such speakers. That was a big deal to open.
Huge.
That was huge. Now I don't think it's relevant at all.
Because every car's got awesome speakers.
They all got great stuff. But then those days. And we all drove old vehicles. My first car was a 74 Cheyenne Chevy pickup.
Dude, when you could put a 3-disc changer into
it was in the trunk.
In the trunk.
You go in the trunk. There was a friend of mine got the first 10-disc one.
Oh, man.
It was like, wow, how do we keep track even what's in there? That was all real, man.
So my buddy, Vince McCary, had a Honda CRX.
Those were prime for that.
And the whole trunk, which was not big, but the entire trunk was subwoofers.
Yep.
And so we would roll into school. He would pick me up my junior year. We'd roll into the junior lot. You know, it would be so loud that the chain that he would have hanging from his rearview mirror was like constantly in a state of vibration and flux and motion and whatnot. And we would roll into Freaks of the Industry by Digital Underground. That was our roll-in song. Yeah.
That
little CRX.
Of course.
And I mean,
that's the perfect car for that, though, because you can fill it.
Permeating your being.
You can fill that back trunk, load it up. And it's a hatchback, so you can get to it.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You wanted to park and then put the hatchback up and then boom.
Boom.
Yeah, that was the operation.
Is that what Uno's got? Uno, what kind of subs you got, Uno?
You got some subs? He has no idea what you're talking
about. My car stereo is whatever it came with.
That's
I just left it. I do know quite a few people in college that would get different speakers and stuff and change it, add bass and stuff.
What about in Kansas? In Ocho in Kansas, were they doing speakers still?
2 9-inch subwoofers.
That's
so
legit,
Kansas was all about it.
Kansas
still
had it. They're still living.
Griff.
That's right. I like it.
Griff.
I like it.
It
was big pickup truck. So if the key would be if you had a pickup truck, you'd want a pickup truck and then a tonneau cover, and then you could put the speakers in the back of the pickup truck.
Oh, baby.
So that was the –
in the bed?
The bed. They'd put it in there. So then, you could go at that point.
Yeah, I mean,
you really get connected.
You're living.
You're really living. And it was all about the parking and then put on a little concert.
Put on a little concert, and then maybe you'd peel out.
Who gets
too
hurt.
Fast, too furious.
Yeah.
Yeah, some neon.
The culture in Dazed and Confused lasts, all the way through us, but I think it's all over now.
Over.
Long over. But that's all we used to do. And the boys
party at the Moon Tower.
That's right. When we go home, the boys are like, Dad, what'd you do in this town, when you were in high school? I said, we literally just drive from one end to the other.
Yeah.
all night.
Oh, yeah.
That's all we did. And then park for a little bit and then keep driving. It was the whole operation.
That's great.
I don't know. All right. Hot topics today presented by Vivid Seats, official fan experience partner of your Cleveland Browns. You're going to hear a lot of reportedly. That's where we're at, kids. Reportedly hiring Deuce Staley as
like
the running
that.
Back coach.
I like that.
I don't like when people, when you see this stuff reportedly and you see sources I have confirmed or sources confirming, who's doing the confirming?
It's a great question. Not anybody we're talking to.
Is it the coach?
Well, there's that's next number two there.
Number two on the list.
Reportedly. Only reportedly.
The Browns are interviewing former Eagles offensive coordinator Brian Johnson.
Only reportedly. I don't know what that
Maybe.
Means. I don't know what that gesture means.
I don't know what it means either. I'm just air painting across the screen for those on the stream. this from Tom Pelissero. The Browns are reportedly set to interview Chargers offensive coordinator Kellen Moore for their reported offensive coordinator opening. Who wrote that? Is that you? That's a good job out of you.
Yeah.
Because it's not. AVP's still on the website. Chargers expected to let him speak to multiple other teams.
All right. So we have three sentences about what we're doing, and they involve 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reported or reportedlies.
Good job.
That's a great job. By the way, I have something that's not reportedly. I can confirm.
Okay.
There's a lot of secrecy, a lot of anticipation, a lot of buildup for a concert that's going to take place at First Center at Cleveland Brown Stadium. Have you not heard about this?
I have no idea.
You didn't know this was coming?
No, no idea.
Oh, yeah. There was a press conference. The mayor was there. Well,
Come
it has
on,
just
the
been announced.
The mayor's involved?
Yeah.
So, it's literally going on as we speak.
The press conference.
Why aren't we taking it live?
It's a great question.
So
I asked him that.
Wonderful question.
Yeah. So, coming to Cleveland.
All right.
Friday, the September the 13th, 2024 at Cleveland Brown Stadium.
Okay. Wait, can I let should we do like I guess what it is?
You want to guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I get three questions
it's
and then I guess.
Two people. Yep, three questions and then you guess.
Okay. What genre?
I don't even know.
Rock slash easy listening. Rock and roll slash easy listening. Rock and roll, okay. Definitely, and easy listening combined.
What era? I mean, I think right now, this is what I think it is right now. I don't need any more guesses. And I've seen nothing. You can see. I've seen nothing. I knew nothing about this.
Yep.
Rock easy listening, and the big a deal as you're making it seem, would lead me to believe that it would be Billy Joel and Elton John. Now, I have no idea if they're on tour. I have no idea anything about it. That's my guess.
So it was a good clue because Billy Joel is one of the two. But
it
is not Sir Elton.
Okay, so Billy Joel. All right, Billy Joel. Play me a song, Piano Man. Go ahead.
And somebody else. So he's done Billy Joel and Elton John. Last year, his tour was Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks.
Correct. They were at Ohio Stadium.
It is not Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks could bring it, man.
Could bring it. Oh,
bring
yeah.
It.
Fleetwood Mac, heater. So it is Billy Joel and.
Billy Joel and. Billy Joel and. Okay, so now we're trying to figure out
British,
the and.
I believe.
British, I believe.
I believe the other
is
guys.
Is Rod Stewart still alive?
There it
Did
is.
Did I get it?
There it is. Billy Joel.
The next level's next.
Billy Joel
we'll
and
see
Rod
you down the road, kids.
That's incredible. That's very good. I think
Rock Easy Listening got me to that area. The big deal, like this is it's a big deal. You guys were all chesty about the deal size. Mayor,
well,
people
I think
involved,
some people
the world.
No one in the building would tell us yesterday.
No, yeah. Like, look,
I didn't even know this was going
on. I asked somebody yesterday, like two people actually, including the debutante. And she was like.
She's not a luminary.
She was like, I can't tell you.
Come on.
I was like, okay. So who am I going to tell?
Yeah.
By the way, we all work in the building.
Yeah, where are you going?
Well,
a little something.
So it's,
that's
it's
what
locked
it is.
In. It's September 13th. Your Uncle Bo got it.
You did. Congrats. Take a
good job out of me. Billy
where
Joel.
Are signs? I'd like, we need the signs, Bill.
Rod Stewart.
We need the signs.
They're over here. I'll get
especially
them.
For the offseason.
Hold on.
When we can have a little more tomfoolery. But, yeah, so you nailed it. There was a lot of speculation, and I think hope. People were hoping that because of the nature of, you know, the mayor and all of that, I think there was a lot of hope from people that it was going to maybe be T-Swizzle.
I also got a SummerSlam request last night.
Oh, man.
I was like, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I just need this one because this one will
you're going to need that other one,
we'll
too.
We'll keep this one on the side for a giveaway when you really
well, there's another one. There's the small P, too.
Yeah, well, that's.
You want that guy.
Yeah, we need that, too, just in case. So you keep that one.
And I do like that one because I do like that those had the must. Those were the Pedros.
Pedro,
yeah. When he used to talk.
There you go. Now we're locked in. Now we're dialed. So, yeah, so that is not even reportedly. That's confirmed. Now.
All right.
This is something that is jumping onto my brain.
Okay.
Just got another Rod Stewart. Is Rod Stewart still alive from a certain friend of the show?
Wanted to be sure. I couldn't because they're all getting that. I feel like it's fair. I lose track.
Yes.
You know, he's got to be in his mid-70s.
Yes.
Right?
Rod Stewart's age,
is it like 75?
Could you name his top hit? Like, I was trying to think yesterday. I was like total blank.
Is it like Satisfaction?
The Stones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think he sang that. Didn't he cover that?
I don't. That's maybe. The first thing that came
he
to
is
my head.
79 years old.
Holy
what
hell.
Does it say? Like he's what's 79. What's his best known songs?
What is it? Yeah,
I keep thinking of bring over some of your old Motown.
Oh yeah.
It was that swing song.
Yeah.
Like the Motown.
Bring over your.
Yeah. I know exactly the song you're singing. And until we
Maggie May.
Okay. Here's the thing. I think if you went, you're going to know more than you think.
Oh, 100%.
I bet you know.
This is a sing-along.
80% of the catalog. I think the same would be true for, like, Billy Joel is older than my. But so for me, it's just Piano Man because that was like every.
Still Rock and Roll to Me?
No, I know those.
Uptown Girl?
Right, but Piano Man's the one that was like.
For sure.
In college, there was a
Downeaster Alexa.
When you were our age, there was a time when if you could have a dueling piano, that was the situation.
That was it.
And that's
yeah,
what you wanted.
Yeah.
So there were several bars that would have that.
Of course.
And so when Piano Man would come on.
Pretty sure there still is one down in the flats.
There is.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you love it in the moment, but like you coming back every week.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
You were all right, so we didn't have, yeah. Where, I would maybe, where's Richard Marx at these days? Repeat offender? Right here waiting for you? Why isn't he doing anything big? I like Richard Marx.
Yeah.
I know more of his songs off the top of my head than Rod Stewart's, even though I guarantee I know more Rod Stewart songs than
Richard
Marx.
You're going to know Rod Stewart.
Here's what I'm going to tell you about Rod Stewart. This is my first thoughts of him from my youth.
Spiky hair.
Yep. He was married to the supermodel Rachel Hunter.
That's
yes,
right.
He okay. was.
Who was an apple Ooh. Of my eye as a youth.
Yeah,
she was
sure.
in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit
sure,
issue.
Sure.
And I'll never forget, my mom used to get People magazine.
Uh-huh.
And when it showed up that he pulled her, I had a very difficult time wrapping my head around it. It was hard to understand because he was significantly older. I didn't think he was good looking enough. Little Bo had no concept of
Rock
famous
star.
Wealth. Really matters.
Oh, right.
That's
star.
A really big deal. Like, if you're famous and wealthy, things are real easy. And I had no idea, plus the rock star part of it. I had no point of reference. I thought, this makes no sense. How did this happen? And so that was my first lesson in, like,
about Vince Neil.
Here's how these things happen. But at least he was of age.
True.
Like, he was around that age. Like, Stewart was significantly older. Rachel Hunter can't be, she's got to be like 50. So he's got to be 20.
You think
mid-50s.
She's only 5 years older than us?
Okay, maybe she's like 54.
Let's see. I'm looking it up right now.
I'm going to say under 55, though.
Rachel Hunter, 54.
Okay.
Gosh, I'm on a
You're on a heater.
You are on,
you are on a heater.
So when she
Throw
was
20. Throw it on red. Let it ride.
When
allegedly.
She was
we're
like
not
22, he's 47. That was a hard thing for Little Bo to wrap my head around. Couldn't understand it.
It is a hard thing to wrap your head around.
Yeah. There you go.
There it is.
All right.
So there
also, within the past hour, Myles Garrett's been named one of the five finalists for the AP Defensive Player of the Year.
Boy, that's a hell of a transition.
This is what we do.
This is what we do. We give it.
By the way, would you like his top songs?
Yeah,
yes.
Give it to me. Well, hold it. Let me do this first. Hold that, Gary.
Yeah, hold that. Hold
let
it.
Me do the business.
We'll loop back.
We'll come right back. That.
Fine.
Keep that page up. Stefanski, top five finalists for Coach of the Year. Flacco named finalist for Comeback Player of the Year. Baker on that list as well. Jim Schwartz, finalist for AP Assistant Coach of the Year. The winners will be February 8th in Houston.
Monken. That's
that's a lot. That's
Let
a
me tell you
category
that AP,
there.
Oh, my God. Schwartz.
Slowick, Johnson.
McDonald, Monken, and Slowick. Yeah. The Ravens, both of them.
Both of them, yeah. The MVP finalists, Lamar, McCaffrey, Dak, Josh, and Brock Purdy.
So Lamar's winning it.
Lamar's winning. Well, the question will be unanimous. Offensive Player of the Year, Lamar, McCaffrey, Prescott, Hill, and CeeDee Lamb. I think it's going to be Lamar and McCaffrey. I think Miles is the clear favorite, and I think he'll end up winning it. I think Stefanski's going to win it, too, because it would have taken place after the regular season. So you wouldn't get, like, D'Amico probably would have got the bump had it taken place after the first week of the postseason.
Dan Campbell's got a real shot, too, I think.
Yeah, five quarterbacks, 11 wins. I don't know.
I'm with you, dude. I want him to win.
Flacco for comeback. How is Tua a comeback?
From all those concussions, I
DeMar guess. Hamlin's that's almost a separate category entirely. Baker and then Stafford on that.
DeMar Hamlin came back from death?
Yeah. Comeback of a lifetime.
So I feel like he wins, but
shouldn't
then,
have been last year?
I think so too.
He didn't
That should
play.
Have been last season.
Yeah. Although they did decide to use him on the fake cut.
There's a part of me that thinks like
they were trying, he was trying for the Hollywood, the Disney.
The movie.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
And what other explanation is it? If you wanted to go get 4 yards, give the ball to Josh Allen.
Let's take it out. Let's take the ball away from the human rhinoceros, and instead let's go with a guy that rarely plays. All right, so there you go. And then Schwartz on the opposite. We mentioned Ben Johnson, McDonald, Monken, and Slowick on that side of things. Give me some Rod Stewart hits.
Here we go. This is from Yahoo Top 15.
Yep.
Handbags and glad rags was number 15. No
Nothing.
Idea.
Zero.
Have I told you lately?
Yeah.
Great song.
That was a big one. Yeah, that was huge.
This Old Heart of Mine.
That's Lionel Richie.
That's a good one.
What was it?
This Old Heart of Mine.
Yeah. Know that.
I'm going to let it shine.
Do you think I'm sexy?
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Excuse me?
I remember that one.
Is that Right Said Fred?
You're in my heart.
I got nothing on that.
I don't know if I know that one. The first cut is the deepest.
Sexy. Yep.
Yep. I don't want to talk about it.
A lot of this stuff has been covered by other artists.
Yes.
So that's the thing.
All for Love. I remember that from the Three Musketeers movie with Bryan Adams and Sting.
Oh, that's right. It was the three of them.
Yes.
Bryan Adams on a heater.
Yeah,
at
where's
that time.
Boy, he was.
Because he did the Robin Hood one, too.
Yes.
Everything I do it for you.
Yep.
Yeah, he was on a crazy heater.
Sailing.
Got nothing.
Sailing.
It's a good song. That's
might like
be,
that. You're
going to
find that on
popular,
Yacht Rock.
In my opinion.
Yacht Rock.
Tonight's the Night.
Okay.
Young Turks. The Killing of Georgie. I don't know that one.
Nothing.
I mean,
Downtown Train. Downtown Train is a good one.
Give it.
Maggie May, number two.
Yeah.
And then Baby Jane, number one.
Number one. All right.
I guess I was not either. I have to say.
It's before us.
I think my mom and dad, Nana and not Pedro, were not Rod Stewart people because I listened to a lot of music. Like, I was well versed on The Doors, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
I knew at least
I had no Rod Stewart
eight
going
to 10
on
of those.
You did, yeah.
Yep.
I probably knew about that many too, but there was never any Rod Stewart. Ours was it was Outlaw Country, Waylon Willie, like that was the soundtrack of my youth, and the George Strait, and then on my mom's there was a little, and she liked that stuff too, but then it was like Creedence and I remember Creedence for sure in the mix, and a little maybe a little bit of
Creedence, yeah,
yeah,
CCR baby,
yeah. That was
they're great.
Dire Straits.
Oh,
I remember Dire Straits.
There you go.
Money for Nothing.
Yeah, The Walk of Life still holds up. It's great.
Oh yeah.
But I will say this: if you have never seen Billy Joel in concert, please go.
Be a show.
I've seen Sir William.
It
Joel
is it
many
is
times.
Amazing.
He's great.
He is the ultimate entertainer. By the way, maybe one of the top 10 best interviews on Howard Stern ever.
Mm. That's saying something.
Yeah.
Well, it's a hell of a life.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's
and Howard has
amazing.
No constraints on time, so he can kind of. It's almost like autobiography when he gets one of those guys in there.
Yep.
You get all of it.
It was an amazing. I sat in my car for like 45 minutes,
and so he would have. And he was married to Christie Brinkley.
Yeah.
Speak of her powers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's that. That's
they've all done Vinny, quite nicely for themselves.
Nana, correct. No Rod Stewart in my repertoire.
Good job, Nana. Maybe she was as bothered as I was.
Yeah.
All right. We've got some more reportedlies we're going to get to as the program goes along.
And some reels.
We got some reels?
I think so.
Do we have
some
reels in
there?
Here, too? Yeah. We're going to do a little bit of behind the lines in the NFC Championship game with the Lions. Tim Twentyman going to join us coming up at 2 o'clock. It is a mailbag edition of the program. Get your questions into Gibbe, and he will take care of you on that side of things. We are off and running. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner, Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle
style, and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Bo here for my friends at Jim Beam. What do sports and Jim Beam have in common? Both better when enjoyed with others. So grab a bottle, gather your friends, and enjoy the game. Because with Jim Beam, you come as fans and you leave as family. Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2024 James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky. Drink smart. Yes, Mr. Segura. You're up.
So this just dawned on me while we were sitting here. So we're talking about, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Billy Joel and Rod Stewart.
Okay.
Friday, September the 13th. Right? That's when that concert is going to take place at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Yep, we're all in agreement on that,
yep.
Right?
Correct.
My guess is, right, that means we will for sure be on the road that weekend.
Yeah, because you can't have a concert on a Friday and then
and a game,
and
on,
a game
Sunday.
On a Sunday. Correct, I would say that's true.
What do you think?
Now, that's I would not think, I don't know, is that opening
season.
Weekend
no,
or is that
is,
week
it is
two?
Not. Week two. It's week two. Yeah. So that's fine, which means that makes me think.
Home opener?
Maybe we open up at home.
Maybe. I like it.
That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
It'd be great. All right. That's just a little.
I like the connecting the dots you did there.
Yeah, do something.
Either
like
that or we're on the road for the first two.
First two.
Rough.
I mean, we've been doing like the divisional openers, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So you'd be Cincinnati here, Pittsburgh here, Baltimore here would be the setup.
Give me the Steelers.
I bet you they go Baltimore opening with Kansas or unless the Ravens win the Super Bowl. I bet they would go Baltimore opening with Burrow and the Bengals at home.
Sunday night football.
And then maybe us opening with the Steelers here.
Fine.
We've done that a couple years ago, right?
Gross.
In the rain.
Wasn't that, yeah, a couple that was years like ago? 2017?
No. I was doing this.
18? Was it week one of 18?
It was
week
one
of 18.
It was my very first
year.
It was Baker's rookie year.
Very first year, yeah.
Joe Schobert got the.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Allegedly. That's rumored.
Rumored, yeah.
Rumored.
So.
Reportedly.
Reportedly. So, yeah. Yeah, that was Hayden. Or not Hayden. It was Denzel. Denzel had a pick.
Two picks. And then didn't Joe Schobert get a
Schobert
tie,
had it and fumbled.
And then Schobert got a pick, fumbled, and then we got our field goal blocked by Zane Gonzalez.
It was like a nor'easter.
It was a deluge.
It, yeah.
Just ridiculous. Yeah. For the opener.
We ended in a tie. 0-0-1 was our record.
That's right. Well, we didn't lose the opener.
We didn't.
The Panthers are hiring Buccaneers offensive coordinator Dave Canales as their new head coach. Todd Monken was a finalist for that job. I don't know Dave Canales.
He wasn't on anything.
No.
When yesterday, when we had the thing or not a thing, he wasn't even listed as a
possibility.
What? He so, I guess he came in and blew the doors off.
That's what your sources with that.
No, I mean that was multiple national media outlets, like last night, saying, I don't know what's happened in the last 4 hours, but this guy is a real candidate.
All right. So here's his backdrop. 42 years of age from California, Carson.
He was 11th, according to Vegas.
Jeez. So he was the Seahawks wide receiver coach from 2010 to 17. That's a long stint, man.
Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
Lockett.
Yep. And then quarterback coach 18-19, passing game coordinator 2021, quarterbacks coach Seattle last year. So up until this year in Tampa Bay, he had never been a coordinator. You wonder if Tepper's like, man, we had Baker here. And look what he did with Baker. You know what I mean?
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know. I mean, I'm personally just disappointed. I don't care how great his interview was. We're talking about Todd Monken here.
I just want him out of here.
You desperately tried to will it.
Apparently he's not happening.
I think that one and the Chargers are the only two he interviewed with, isn't he? Didn't he?
So yeah. What's left? You got commies. Sounds like they're getting
they're waiting
Ben
on
Johnson,
the Lions.
Right?
Lions guy. Yep.
So they're waiting on him, And then you've got, it feels like the, it's Atlanta's, the only one that's weird is Atlanta, because like Vrabel interviewed today.
They've interviewed 14 candidates for that including Belichick.
Like twice. Yeah. You need two chats with Belichick? Like, you know what you're getting into. I understand that.
I think Belichick wants complete control. And I think there are people in that organization that are like, that have the owner's ear that said, if that guy's got control, I'm out.
Yeah. And I think if you're Arthur Blank, you say, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's in, it's time to go.
Yes.
The Bengals are promoting their quarterback coach, Dan Pitcher, to offensive coordinator. They've already had a press conference down there. That was this morning. With that, Vic Fangio and the Dolphins parted ways yesterday. Then Fangio joins the Eagles as their DC. He was like the apple of the coaching eye when the Dolphins got him. He's like, they got the best defensive coordinator on the market.
Yeah.
And they got Fangio last
year.
Their
D actually played pretty well.
Yeah, I wonder what that's about.
I don't know. Maybe he wanted to get out to go to the Eagles.
Go to Philly. Maybe.
So, I guess, like, Fangio actually had the opportunity to interview to be the head coach down there and, like, withdrew. And basically, he's just not a fan of Florida.
Like, he's not, like, warm?
Yeah, like, the whole climate and not being close to family. Hmm. He did it as a favor, like, I guess, to McDaniel. But he wants to come north. He wants to come back here.
Interesting.
And so they let him out of his deal. It was weird. But Armando Salguero had a really good piece on it. Like, just the whole background that Fangio has never been a big fan of Miami. Like, it's not, and not the organization, just
the town?
Yeah, just being down there. He would rather be up in the north.
Well.
It was very weird.
How about it? I guess good for him.
Yeah, if that's where he wants to be. I think it's good for the Eagles. Their D was dreadful this year. I mean, it couldn't have been worse.
Yeah.
Desai didn't matter. Desai, Patricia.
All fails.
Big
fails.
Fails
across the boards.
Yeah.
Harbaugh officially the coach of the Chargers. So that happened.
They're that stuff came out yesterday. You absolutely nailed it. You were like, this is Michigan trying to put out, we did everything we could. We're going to make him the highest paid coach in college. And he still said no.
Yeah. Yeah, and he actually did them a favor. They're going to go, Sherrone Moore is going to be promoted. He was the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He'll be promoted to head coach. He actually did Michigan a favor, because I don't know how much of our audience is primarily an NFL audience is aware of this, but when there is a coaching change in college football, there's a 30-day window where anybody on that roster can transfer anywhere they want without penalty.
Yep.
Which is kind of how the sport is now anyway, but it's even exacerbated in that there aren't windows on when you can do it. So the best example of this is what happened at Alabama, where their roster has been raided. Texas
ravaged.
Got a couple of guys. Buckeyes got like three studs, including the best defensive player in college football last year, who they took care of quite nicely to get him to play safety for them for the next 2 years. So the deal here, though, is by waiting this long to do the Chargers gig, because we're still under the facade of academia in college with college football, you're past the drop ad date. So even if a kid wanted to leave Michigan, and there probably will be some that do, you're past the date with which you can do it, because you got to get into another school. Now, there's a spring transfer window that happens in April, and they could lose a bunch of guys there. But by promoting Moore, he now has the next month to win those kids over, and he probably has already won over a lot of them, because he was interim coach last year for 6 games.
Yep.
And he's got spring football. So they're going to have a pretty good job at roster retention because of how long this took. If this would have happened 2 weeks ago, they'd have lost a dozen players.
Yeah.
And now they might not.
The kid's bullish. He's bullish on their ability to stay good.
He's surfing on a rainbow after a national title.
That's what I say.
I mean, you get that, that's like a 5-year.
Yeah, you're good.
That's the trump card.
5 years.
That could be the rest of his life. Yeah. Two national titles in a lifetime? Come on.
And because Harbaugh walked out on that. Because that was his walk-off.
So I said this morning, he's Danny Ocean.
Yeah.
He did it all.
He
robbed the casinos. You didn't catch him. He left. He's got a better life. He took the girl.
Yeah.
It's as big a walk-off winner as you're going to have.
It's one of the biggest ever, right?
Can you name the only other coach to leave a program after winning a national championship? There's only one other coach who's done it. National championship, out. at young Griff. Look at young Uno. Young Griff's got to be thinking. I know he's thinking.
This is just a guess, and it's probably wrong. Saban.
No. They didn't win it this year.
My first thought was Pete Carroll. I don't know if that's right.
I thought maybe he won it. Didn't he win at LSU?
He did. But
I thought maybe he left because he won there. He got to go to Alabama.
Pete Carroll popped into my head, but I don't know.
Pete Carroll's a good. No, it was much later, and it's a lot of similarities there because Pete left USC in a mountain of trouble, and that's what's going to happen at Michigan. It was Lane Kiffin and Sarkisian. Tom Osborne, 97 Nebraska, won the national title in 97, split it with Michigan, and then bounced, retired.
Interesting. Yeah. So the people that I run in the circles that I run in sometimes, they don't acknowledge Nebraska in 97.
They don't acknowledge that national
That's
title.
Chucky Wood.
Yeah.
And the blue.
I think Michigan got the AP version. In those 8 years they'd split them. So Michigan got the AP and maybe Nebraska got the coaches.
Yeah.
It happened in 91 too, where Miami got half of it and Washington got half of it.
Wasn't that one in 97 though where like Michigan was one. They were number one. They WON won their game.
They played Washington State in the Rose Bowl.
And Nebraska left them in one of the polls.
Nebraska was two going into the weekend. Nebraska was also undefeated. Michigan was undefeated. Michigan played Washington State in the Rose Bowl. If memory serves, 97 Nebraska played.
Tommy Frazier?
No, Tommy Frazier's 95. That team beat Florida for the national title like 64-20. Annihilation. Lawrence Phillips.
Oh, man.
That didn't end well.
No.
No.
I want to say that 97 Nebraska beat Peyton Manning in Tennessee.
Okay.
In the Orange Bowl.
Uno's looking it up.
That's what I think. I feel like my final answer.
I like it.
Did
I
nail it?
42-17 over Tennessee.
Let's go. What's next? All right, so that's
reportedly.
It.
Reportedly.
Could be. We'll have more fun with that. No, so that's it. That's how that happened. So they won 42-17 over one loss, Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Whereas Michigan won pretty close in the Rose Bowl against Washington State, who also had one loss. So that's Ryan Leaf. And so that's how that happened. So they split it. Both undefeated.
It was, though, the first time I remember, or that's been said to me, I don't know if it's true or not.
I bet it has.
That it was the first time that a team went into the final week number one in those polls back in the poll days, won their game, and then were leapt out of number one in one of the polls.
Well, it would have happened in 91, too, because Washington split it with Miami. It would have happened. So that's there. It definitely happened then, too.
Yeah, okay.
97, that was the Ohio State choke job against Michigan State.
98's the Michigan State. That's Plaxico Burress.
Yeah,
they're undefeated.
Okay.
They lose at home. 97 might have been Biaka Batuka.
Hold on. So they have two choke jobs against Michigan State? Because epic one in like four? What year was that?
You can make a very good argument up until the last 3 years that Michigan State took more from Ohio State than Michigan in the time that I was around the program and really like in Uno's life. Michigan State was far bigger thorn in their side until the last 3 years.
14?
They lost in 98 when they were the number one team in the country and would have won the national title.
Orlando
because
Pace?
That's the year that Tennessee with T. Martin beats Florida State with a third string quarterback. Ohio State for sure would have been in the national title in 98 and would have won it. So that one, they got them in 2012, an undefeated Ohio State team with Urban Meyer. No, 2013, undefeated Ohio State would have played Florida State in the national championship game. And Michigan State beat them in the Big Ten championship game. Then in 15,
15's the one.
They beat Ohio State with a backup quarterback. Zeke, Bosa, Michael Thomas, all those
and
guys.
Just run the ball.
In Columbus, In Columbus.
In a gross
Connor
game.
Connor Cook was out?
He was out.
That name? Yeah, Connor Cook was the quarterback. Was out. Oh, Rock. Yes.
Can she confirm anything?
I don't know. Should we ask her to come in?
I don't know. No, but you could make an argument Michigan State took more until the last 3 years. Now Michigan's usurped.
Certainly, they've usurped.
But during that time, it was pretty, they took a
lot
of
I'm pleased that I had some of that recall.
You had it. You're right there.
Listen, for not being the Pac-12 is pretty good. There's a lot of luminaries walking around. There's
so
a lot.
Get Glenn Cook to give me a thumbs up.
There's a lot going on.
How do you feel about that, Glenn?
He's in like a blue Browns polo. I've never seen that.
I've never seen that either.
It's nice.
It's like a combine.
So that
Browns?
Maybe there's more reportedly still to come. Because we've seen some reportedly.
That's a new reportedly.
This is a new reportedly.
Yeah.
And then Lily.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to do a little fantasy.
Yeah, we got to.
You guys got to redraft.
We got to redraft. All right, Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
When a medical mistake caused you injury, call the medical malpractice attorneys at 1-800-ELK Ohio. Elk and Elk's proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. We were really close last week on the fantasy.
So we had unbelievable game last week.
Yeah.
So to remind people, you had first pick and took Christian McCaffrey. He rewarded you with 28.3 points.
Yep. That's right.
Which was the highest of any position player. Your team was comprised of two running backs, quarterback, two running backs, three receivers. Lamar Jackson was your quarterback. He gave you 38 points.
That's good.
Jamar Gibbs was your other running back. He gave you 19.4.
Yep. You say, gosh, how'd you lose?
Kelsey was your tight end and gave you 22.
How'd you possibly lose?
Well, your receivers. Here it comes. Stephon Diggs, 3.6, catches one
Catch
of those
one.
Bombs. You win. Debo, 3.4, doesn't get hurt.
Mm.
You win. Sad. Zay Flowers, 6.1. Best receiver you had. For me, Allen gave me 31.6. I was pleased with that. It was really – mine was more of a consistent effort. 31.6 from Allen. Mike Evans, 24.7. Amon Ross, 17.7. Isaiah Pacheco, 17.6. Kittle, 16.1. Nico, 9.3. And then David Montgomery, just a 6.2. We ended up scoring – you scored 121. I scored 123.24.
It's pretty good.
It was electric.
That's very good.
It was a great job.
Yep.
It was a great job. So –
all right.
How do you want to go? This week, obviously, it's the same scenario, same rules. They will.
Yeah.
Are we gonna carry these teams forward to put some element of draft to it?
Oh, I like that. Versus redrafting the whole thing?
Well, in the Super Bowl, it'll be like I take a running back, then you're going to take a running back.
So, in terms of carryover, I would have Lamar, McCaffrey.
I meant if you wanted to carry over from this, now that we
draft
this
week. Oh, the point
week,
total, this not week. The players.
Yeah, we'll carry the point totals from all 3 weeks total.
Oh,
but
okay,
I'm saying,
okay. But then redraft?
I'm saying this week's draft should carry into the Super Bowl. Or because if we redraft in the Super Bowl, which is also fine, it'll just be like,
oh, you're
I
saying
get one quarterback,
not,
you get one quarterback.
You were hitting
you
this,
one,
you bet. Not that week, the one we're drafting right now.
Yes.
Carries over.
Yeah.
Well, that'll change the way you do it because you're going to try to, you hope for a two.
Or we can just redraft the Super Bowl and we'll identify who we think is the most important. All right, well, let's just redraft each week and we'll carry
you could
it
go first. So, that I
so this week
lesson.
I get to go first.
Yeah.
Okay. Champions prerogative.
McCaffrey, you're going to take my guy?
I am absolutely going to take your guy.
Yeah,
I
thought you probably would.
I got two now.
Jeez, he's such an advantageous human.
He's pretty good.
Well, I think I got to go Kelsey because I think he's got the biggest advantage of the tight ends that are remaining.
Okay.
So I will go Kelsey and. Pacheco, I guess.
Wow. All right, I'm going to take Lamar. And I'm going to take... Amon Ra.
I think you're going to win. I didn't think this through. I feel like Gibby with what I've done right here. Yeah, you've won.
No, you can't say that. I thought you were going to win last time.
So I'll take Gibbs.
Okay.
I'm going to take Gibbs. God, that's stupid. Because Amon Ra, he's so far and away the number one.
Of the receivers that are left? I think so, too.
He was the right one to take, for sure. You have no idea what's going to happen with Kansas City's receivers at all. Who the hell are the... So the where are we with Debo? Like, is he, at best, he's wounded, right?
At best, wounded. You gonna dip your toe back into that Debo pool?
No, I can't do the Debo. That was too risky. That's, it'd be way too risky on the wounded Debo. I'll go Ayuk.
All right. I am going to go. I'm going to take your guy, Zay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take Rashee Rice of Kansas City.
Okay.
Got Slim Pickens at receiver fast.
Yeah, it got really
because
really
we just don't
dicey.
Know about Debo.
We have no idea. I'm gonna go Jameson Williams.
Wow, and just hope he gets a bomb.
One bomb. Just give me one bomb.
Wow.
I'm gonna go one bomb. Get me one bomb.
Okay.
I gotta swing for the fences here. So I need another receiver?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Grossness. I'm trying to think, like, what the heck? So Rice was great last week, but it's like a rotation for Kansas City. You have no idea who it's going to be.
No, you have no idea.
Oh, gross. Man, he had 12 targets last week. I would not have had that.
Who did?
Rice.
Yeah. He's been kind of the he's been the best guy.
Yeah.
Fairly consistently.
I don't feel good about any of these other receivers. None of them. Who's the two in, why am I blanking on the other two in Detroit?
Josh Reynolds.
I guess I'll go that way.
Josh Reynolds?
Actually, give me OBJ. OBJ. It's a mess. You're going to swamp. I was off kilter as soon as I, your strategy. I wasn't prepared to pick two and three.
Well, I thought you were going to go Lamar for sure.
Well, I know. I blew it. When I, two and three blew it because it was opposite.
Yeah.
Wasn't prepared. It was a good job out of you.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
Once that happened, I was chasing the snake the rest of the way.
So my last two, I'm actually going to go Laporta over Kittle. And actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to go Kittle. Stay with Kittle. He was good to me last week. Kittle. And
what
then my second running back is going to be Justice Hill.
Justice Hill. Yeah. Right. And then obviously I have Mahomes. All right, there you go.
There it is.
That's going to be a slumping, I'm afraid. Tim Twentyman is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. He is your Lions senior writer. He will join us with a preview of the NFC Championship game. Additionally, in the second hour of the program, we will have the mailbag. Many of you have already solicited your questions into Gibby. Keep them coming, and we will get to those as well. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio. Let's head on to the Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea Hotline, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Keep it twisted, Cleveland. Tim Twentyman joining us, Lions senior writer and insider, joining the program. It is an NFC Championship game that we played in Sunday out in the Bay Area. Tim, thank you so much for taking the time. Before we get into the game, how do you put into words what the last couple of weeks have been like with those home wins?
Yeah, electric probably. I mean, I don't know if you're watching the games. You could probably
hear
the noise level and the electricity through the television. I can tell you being there was something pretty special. Look, you guys know the history. A team that hasn't won their division in 30 years, hadn't won a playoff game in, 32 years. And so, they got kind of that monkey off their back. And this has been, a terrific run for the city. They've been behind this team the whole way. It really started the way they finished last year when they went 8-2 to finish. You kind of sense that, this year was going to be something special. And then they go to, Kansas City and win week one. And that ended up being partly a home game there in the fourth quarter with how this team has traveled. And so, look, the city's been behind this team 100%. I think you're going to be surprised at how many Lions fans find their way out to Santa Clara this weekend, and it's really been electric. It's been really fun in the city the last couple weeks.
Where does Eminem's pregame performance, I guess I'd call it a performance, where does that rank in terms of all the things you've been a part of at Ford Field?
Yeah, that was up there. Look, Detroit fans like Eminem. You know, they like their guys. You guys,
of course.
And so it was good. The fact that he was at both games, the fact that, you know, he stands up, he gets them hyped, they go nuts. Then they play the 8 Mile theme song, right? And it's just part of the thing that makes that experience electric.
Yeah, it was really cool. Let's talk about the electricity on the field as well. This team, you know, you think about Goff playing so well, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, the combination of Gibbs and Montgomery. At times Reynolds makes plays. At other times Jameson Williams makes plays. The line mauling people. This offense feels like one of the more complete offenses left, and that's saying something in this Final Four. What do you kind of make of this offense under the orchestration of Ben Johnson, who it sounds like is going to be a head coach in the league here when we start the 2024 season?
Yeah, he should be. I mean, he's done such a great job with this offense. I mean, I think when I think about this Detroit Lions offense, to me, it's versatility. I mean, this is the Lions team that threw for over 4,000 yards and then ran for over 2,000. So they can hit you both ways. I mean, we saw that in the regular season, Tampa Bay week 6, I thought was a great example. This is a team that's top 5 in running all year, top 5 in passing, but, you know, Tampa really focused on stopping the run. Like, they just loaded the box. It was 8-man boxes, and they were like, you're not going to run on us. So what did Detroit do? Threw for 353 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that's, to me, is they can beat you both ways. And I think that's what makes them so difficult. You know, some teams, you stop one aspect of it, and you can control them. That's not the case with Ben Johnson and this offense. I think he's very creative. They run it a multitude of ways. They throw it a multitude of ways. And I think it's really hard to get a gauge on what he's going to do. And it's been fun to watch. They've got some explosive weapons. I mean, they got two rookies that – had over 10 touchdowns, first time a franchise has ever done that. So they just have really pushed all the right buttons on offense, and it's explosive. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be a good matchup this weekend, because that San Francisco defense is one of the best in the league too. So that should be a fun matchup to watch all night.
How has Jared Goff developed and kind of grown with the Lions? I've always liked him, and obviously he's, you know, Cali kid going back, where Cal Berkeley is where he played his college ball, and he's going to be playing there in Santa Clara. But, you know, I feel like he's so much better than kind of the national perception of him. What do you think about Jared Goff, what he's been able to accomplish, and now leading this team? You know, I thought it was huge. He had to beat Matt Stafford, the guy you were traded for. Yeah. You beat him in the first round. They both played lights out, and now he's going to go take a second team now to an NFC championship.
Yeah, what a night that was for Jared, having 66,000 people just chant your name. I mean, I can't imagine what that feeling would be like, and then to play the way he did. And I think, you know, one of the things Ben Johnson, who we just talked about, the offensive coordinator here, did, one of the best things he did was when he was named offensive coordinator. You know, a lot of times guys, right, a coach will come in, here's my playbook, put it down on the table, here's my philosophies, everybody learn it. That wasn't Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson invited Jared Goff in, and those two together looked at, Jared, what do you do well? You know, how can we build this thing about around your strengths? You know, look, I still have some principles. I still have some things I want to do, and you're going to have to get better at some areas. But let's build this around what you do well. And what that allowed Jared to do is take ownership of the offense, right? I mean, those two guys can just finish each other's sentences if you put them in the same room. That's how closely they think about offensive football. And so, you know, I give a lot of credit to Ben Johnson for doing that. And then when you can have ownership of an offense and it feels like yours and it's built around what you do well, I think the only thing you can do is succeed, especially when you have the big arm and the talent. Let's not forget Jared was the number one pick for a reason. So I think all those combined has resulted in him playing the best football of his career here in Detroit.
When did you know that Amon-Ra St. Brown was this good? When did you realize it?
Yeah,
I think it was about halfway through his rookie season. That's when he started to really come on. I think he had a streak there of, like, I forget what it was, 6 straight games with 8-plus catches or something like that, and it was pretty consistent. And then you started that's when you started to know. I mean, right away you knew he was kind of one of those guys that had a chip on his shoulder. You know, he's a fourth round draft pick. He's the seventh wide receiver taken, and he can tell you the name and the team of all 16 guys at the wide receiver position taken ahead of him. I mean, so that just, he came in, with kind of that chip on his shoulder, just knowing, okay, all right. And then, you know, it took a little bit to kind of get into, you know, learn the NFL and get with it. But then after that, I mean, he blocks in the run game. He's physical. You can't cover him one-on-one. Good luck. He's consistent. I think that's the best word to describe Amon-Ra St. Brown. And when you talk to any quarterback or any football coach, and when they get a bunch of players that are consistent and consistently productive, consistently good, consistently, you know, on their game every day, practice or game day, I think that's one of the best things you can say about a player. And that's what Amon-Ra St. Brown certainly is.
One more on the offense before we take a look over at the defense, which has some great stories and great players in its own right. But, you know, this running back tandem of David Montgomery and Gibbs, and, you know, if there's one thing that kind of stood out from the Niners-Packers game was that, you know, Aaron Jones and that Green Bay line was able to kind of control it and really run the ball on the Niners, and I think Detroit's got a better line than Green Bay. So, you know, how does that duo work out? How close are they? And I remember early in the season before Gibbs had scored a touchdown, I'm pretty sure Montgomery like waved him back into the game so he could get his first touchdown. So obviously they're close, and it's kind of that thunder and lightning type of a combination.
Yeah, it is. It's a kind of a big brother, kid brother relationship. That's how both would describe it. And look, they both root for each other. And I think that's a part of the reason why it works too. You know, they obviously have terrific skill sets where Gibbs is kind of that big play guy. And look, Montgomery can do that too. If you watch that run against the Chargers where he made that guy miss and went 75 yards for a touchdown, like that's part of his game too. But, you know, he's inside the tackles, going to always go forward, going to always gain yard, doesn't lose a lot, still gives you that big play possibility. And then Gibbs with what he does in the passing game in particular. And then, you know, kind of those one cut and you're gone with the 4-3 speed. It's just a terrific compliment. You mentioned it. They get to play behind arguably the top offensive line of football, or at least top three. And when you do that and you're not getting hit, until 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, you're going to have a lot of success. You're going to have a lot of success in this league. And those guys certainly benefit from that. And you're right, though. That's going to be a big key this weekend. If you start to get one-dimensional against the 49ers, you are in trouble. Just with Warner and Greenlaw and the talent that they have up front, you know, they blitz the third fewest time in the league. And so you can't get into a spot where you're just passing and allowing that front four to pin their ears back. If you're Detroit, you've got to go in thinking that's the formula, right? What Green Bay did. They were run the football, now that play action, then you can hit some plays in the passing game. That's what Detroit wants to do, so that's a big part of what that game plan is going to be Sunday afternoon.
Tim, there's no question that Dan Campbell probably always believed that he was capable of this and that all of this was possible. Did you always believe in him?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard when you win 3 games your first season, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You knew that, you know, you love the grit, you love the toughness. You knew that his style fit what the city is, and that, paired with Brad Holmes, but Brad's done a great job of getting young talent in here. And then when I started to believe, when I started to see guys like St. Brown, who we talked about, Penei Sewell, become these kind of all-pro, Pro Bowl type players, well, Brad can bring them in, but it's the coaching staff that develops them, right? And so, you know, I think what got me early on was Dan's ability to develop talent and kind of, you know, be a player's coach, rally guys. I mean, guys will run through a wall for him. And then when it started to win and it started to click, then I think, you know, that's a terrific duo when you can develop talent and, you know, guys will rally around you and you're the leader that he is. It's a great combination. And I'd say probably, you know, midway through the second half of the second season, I think all that started to kind of come together and you kind of saw, how special he is at making guys believe and being a player's coach and developing talent. And I think that's when everybody else started to see and believe too.
One of the cool stories in this whole thing with this Lions team, and it's a fun story. And I think a lot of, obviously in Cleveland, we can relate to what the Lions are going through. And I think there are a lot of people here rooting for the Detroit Lions, but to have Aiden Hutchinson, who, you know, grew up there, played high school in Dearborn, went to Michigan, gets drafted by the Lions. Bo had talked about many times kind of the scene of him looking around
awesome.
After that game.
Yeah.
Have you gotten a chance to talk with him and just kind of what that all meant to him to be able to do that?
Yeah, it meant a ton. You could just tell in the moment on the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Look, he loves this fan base. He loves this city. And Detroit got in trouble. Brad Holmes got in trouble because after Jacksonville passed on him in the 2022 draft, Detroit ran the card up so quickly that the NFL, you know, gave him a little, you know, brushback from, hey, take some time. We want to draw this thing out. But Detroit wanted Aiden so bad, they just said, the heck with it. Just turn in your card. That's our guy. And that's how bad they wanted him. And I think it goes both ways. You mentioned that he's a kid that grew up here, loves the fan base, was a Detroit Lions fan his whole life. And so now you get to play for that city and be part of something special. The city certainly loves what he brings to that Lions defense.
All right, so it comes down to Sunday and a San Francisco team that's been kind of on this path for a long time, and now can this magical run continue? If it does continue, what needs to happen from the Lions' perspective?
Yeah, you know, we talked about being able to run the football, right? And I think on the flip side of it's being able to stop the run. I think, you know, stopping the run and tackling are really key to this game for Detroit. San Francisco is so good at attacking different fronts and running the football. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is one of the best in the business. But then, too, you know, an extension of their run game is kind of that quick, you know, short passing game. You know, they were third in the league in yak yards. And so, look, if they can run and then throw and then play action, you know, this isn't, a defense that's Detroit's strength. And so I think you've got to be able to tackle in space. You've got to be able to stop the run. Make Brock Purdy beat you. And if he does that, throwing the football, you know, 30, 35 times, you tip your cap and you say, hey, we'll try to get here next year. But if they can run the football and you know, grind it with McCaffrey and then hit you with some play action, I think that's just not a recipe for success for Detroit. And so those are two keys for me, for them to walk out of Santa Clara with a win on Sunday.
All right, Tim, let me a couple just quick hitters. End of the game last week, which was in retrospect so bizarre on so many levels. Was it just the sense that once Baker threw that pick that the game was over and both teams acted that way, even though it might not have actually been over had timeouts been called?
Yeah, Dan looked back on it and said, I got to be better. You know, I got to take a little more time off the clock. But I think he sensed across the field that they had kind of given up. You know, they weren't lining up to do anything and they weren't calling timeouts. So I think both guys probably could have played it much better, but hey, if it's me, I make them kick the field goal. You never know what happens. In Michigan, drop the punt and Michigan State touchdown, right? You never know what happens. Trouble with the snap is the term here.
Sure.
So I would have played it different, but hey, it turned out that way. They did what they did. So it was all good.
And they, yeah, absolutely got the win. How's our guy Donovan Peoples-Jones doing? Please give him our regards if you get a chance to see him.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, he's doing good. You know, he's been handling punts the last 2 weeks while Khalif Raymond's been out. And look, all you need is somebody sure-handed back there. Don't make any mistakes, and he's been good in that regard.
And then the last one is, it is reported.
Yeah,
reportedly. Deuce Staley is going to be the next running back coach of the Cleveland Browns, reportedly.
Okay.
I know he spent some time with the Lions. We saw him on Hard Knocks. Anything you can tell us about the Deuce Staley experience?
Yeah, tough, hard-nosed. You better be able to pass protect or you are not going to play the field. I'll tell you that right now. That is number one on his to-do list. And it got DeAndre Swift in a little bit of trouble here, you know, now and again. But first and foremost, look, he's tough. He obviously did it in this league for a long time. So running backs respect those kind of guys that are former players at that position that did it at a high level, won a lot of games. But you guys better be able to pass protect or you guys ain't going to see the field.
There you go. There's a lesson for the youngsters out there. Tim, thank you so much, bud. Appreciate you and good luck. Good luck this week. It's going to be fun. Unbelievable season and a magical ride.
Yeah, it should be fun. Enjoy the game, guys.
All right, that's Tim Twentyman, senior writer for the Lions and insider, joining us on the Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea Hotline, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Keep it twisted, Cleveland, on that side of things. Still time to get your questions into the mailbag. I see a lot of you already have. Bobby's got a bunch of them growing there.
So hey, Bobby!
Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus,
no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the National Football League. Join NextGen STM, presented by Ticketmaster. Official waitlist of the Cleveland Browns, being a NextGen STM, the best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. Time for the Griff stat of the day. I like this. Are you going to do this every day then?
Griff.
It's a I don't know.
It's a stat of the day.
That means every day he's got to come up with a stat.
And we need a jingle. Maybe we can get international superstar Jade McCrae to make a jingle about the Griff stat of the day. And then Gibbe won't play it.
Won't play it, yeah. Can you say this is the Griff stat of the day, so you're committing. By me reading this, you're committing to a stat of the day every week, every day now.
Griff stat of the day.
Griff was working in the dark in the studio, and he yells to me, he goes, I have a stat for you. I need it in the rundown tomorrow. And that was the stat that he
gave. This is it. So this is it. So tomorrow there'll be another one.
If he's got more, I'm all for it.
No, he has to. He has to have a stat of the day.
The show ends.
Yeah.
And I'm looking. I was working on a recap. Uno's working on something. I'm like, where's Griff? Griff is sitting in the chair next to you where you sit in the dark.
I like it.
Quiet. Didn't even know. And out of nowhere, the Griff stat of the day.
I love this.
And I'm like, oh, okay. How about some light, dude?
Do you remember in the early years of this program, I would do my morning operation in the dark in here?
Oh, I know. Yeah. See, I like the, Griff's I like the, why, do, why do you have to turn the light on?
I used to like the lights off. It's too early. Just keep it down. No one. It's fine. All right, so this is the Griff stat of the day. We'll have a Griff stat of the day that I'm sure will be sponsored.
I feel like you should come over here and explain yourself on this.
I think he's gun-shy because of the – what was it? What was the thing he did? The audio?
The bowling story?
No,
contender pretender.
Contender pretender. Yeah.
We need that back.
Here's the Griff stat of the day. Travis Kelce with 145 needs 7 more receptions to pass Jerry Rice for the most receptions in postseason history.
Well, when you've gone to 6 straight AFC Championship games, you get to do that.
I can tell you Zagura is not rooting for that.
Well, the other problem is like this is where we are with this is where we're going to have to get to the NFL on all fronts. It's going to have to be, and this is I don't like this. It's not clean, but you're going to have to be receptions per game or touchdown receptions per game because Jerry Rice, Travis Kelce's probably played more postseason games than Jerry Rice already.
We know Kelce has 20. We looked that up.
He's played 20 games?
Yeah.
All right. So see how many postseason games Jerry Rice has had.
Mahomes has had 16. He's played a full season.
Rice has probably had more than 20. Do you think?
I don't know. That's a lot. Of
29. Oh,
yeah. 29 for Rice. So Kelce's even got a better pace.
He's on a better pace
than Rice. That's incredible. That's probably when his Hall of Fame bust is made and the gold jacket goes on, that'll be it.
That's a stat.
You'll remember. More postseason receptions than Jerry Rice.
I wonder if in his induction speech he'll talk about the Griff stat of the day.
He should. I look forward to working on tomorrow's right now, Griff, so you have time.
So part of the – here's
– let me just set some ground rules on Griff's stat of the day. It doesn't always have to be football. I don't want you to have to feel like I got to find an NFL stat of the day.
You want to give me a Pete Weber now.
Yeah, you can do whatever you need. Whatever stat of the day you want.
PBA action.
However you want to do it, that's fine. We're totally fine with that.
You're in.
He's
you
in now.
Do
the Griff stat of the day is on. It's now a
– Here's an interesting part of it.
Go ahead.
In 23 games with the Niners, he had 130 targets. 23 games with the Niners, 130 targets. That can't be right. The target numbers, that doesn't make any sense. He had 124 catches, 1,811 yards, 19 touchdowns. Just
with 23 games, he had how many?
19 touchdowns, 1,811 yards, and 124 catches.
So 124. Okay. He went to the house.
Yeah.
Jarrah went to the house.
Yeah, 19 TDs. Let's see what Kelce's postseason touchdowns are.
He's got to be way up there, too, I bet.
19, I feel like.
No, it's a ton, but I mean, I feel like Kelce's got a lot.
All right, let's see. Kelce in the postseason. Pro Football Reference is just such a wonderful website. 18. So he's one away from tying Jerry Rice.
Those are...
I got to look this up, though. Now, Griff, maybe that...
Well, don't get too crazy and give it out now, because maybe you can do it tomorrow for the Griff Stat of the Day. Here's a lead. The first one's one on us. Griff Stat of the Day on us.
Yeah.
So save that for tomorrow. Hold your information, because we might
get
it tomorrow.
We need all the content we can get.
Might get that tomorrow. All right, here we go. This one... Of course you found this.
You're darn right.
Where is this on? Is this on Get Up or is this on his show?
This was on Get Up.
All right. So Russo, Mad Dog Russo, who I adore, one of my all-time favorites. And he's been doing this Get Up gig for a while now. And everybody knows how much he makes, and I think it just makes him even more fun with it. He's completely unfettered. Even more than on his show, it feels like.
Yes.
On his radio show, I think he's more unfettered on the Get Up show.
He just did the Andrew Marchand podcast with Marchand.
Yeah.
It was the best hour of radio I've listened to all week.
Yeah.
And then Marchand just piled on Nance and Romo this morning. So I was like, all right. I don't like piling on Jimmy, but Tony, let's avalanche it.
Real quick.
Is this going to wreck the Griff Stat of the Day?
Yep. 100%.
No, because I had already talked about Jerry Rice. 19 or with the Niners. He has 22.
22
in his
total. All right. There you go. All right, so here is this is Mad Dog on Get Up from yesterday on Tony Romo.
Now listen, I know he's making $17 million and everybody gets a kick out of him. I've had enough. On Sunday during this game, 56 million people watched it. Tony, our little pal Romo, on this particular play early in the game, you remember it? When Diggs, again, fumbled it and the ball was knocked out of bounds by Kincaid. He got a 10-yard penalty, first play of the game. Tony said... Boy, that's like the play with Franco Harris. The play with Franco Harris is the immaculate reception, for crying out loud. This is the play in 72 against the Raiders in which they won the game 13-7. And Bradshaw made this wonderful play with the late Franco off Fuqua's helmet. And if Johnny Warren, or it was, and Bradshaw with the win. Pittsburgh went on and lost to Miami the next week. That's, of course, Jack Tatum. And there's Franco. That is the play that Romo referenced. What he should have meant, he needs a history lesson, call me. This is the play that we are referring to. This is called the Holy Roller. This is 78. That's the snake. Throws the ball. They kick it into the end zone. Opening early in the year against the Chargers. And who catches the ball in the end zone? Hall of Famer Dave Casper. They changed the rules after that. Anybody who knows anything about football knows that play with the snake, that is the Holy Roller. Romo sat there and talked about Franco when the ball is knocked out of bounds by Kincaid. That is awful, 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 awful. Next, say something.
Next, say something.
Next, say something. That's beautiful.
That was good.
The best is the two fantastic co-hosts.
He's the best.
You know, Stephen A's in another room. The two ladies are stuck with...
Why? He's not out there? He usually yucks it up and he loves it.
Split screen.
Oh, yeah.
The two ladies that are hosting and trying to traffic cop this are like...
No chance.
There is no hope
they're overwhelmed.
Of bringing this back.
They're overwhelmed.
I let a pal Robo. I mean, that was so good.
I let a pal Robo.
That's so good. I love that. That's great. Robo. That's great. He's the best.
Awful.
Love that guy. I love that he has this renaissance, too, because he's been on Sirius for a long time. And so, like, if you didn't have that, you didn't
– No.
You weren't seeing him. And he's the guy. All right, Mailbag coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, time for a Mailbag Thursday presented by the Cross Country Mortgage Company, official mortgage partner of your Cleveland Browns. When it comes to financing, they're always going to get you home. Visit ccm.com today. Equal housing opportunity, NMLS 3029. Hello, Gibbe.
Hi, boys. Gibbe. Tweet your questions at Browns_daily.
That's right. Oh.
Did you see this news about this former LSU wide receiver?
I did. Keyshawn Boutte So he made like 1,000 bets?
8,900 bets over 13 months at the age of 20, creating a fraudulent online account.
Oh, baby.
17 bets on NCAA football, at least 6 on LSU football. What goes wrong there?
So the problem is, like, what are you going to do? He's gone. Like, he's draft eligible this year.
He's going to be.
Like, what are you going to, you going to go take wins again? Like, how are you going to monitor it? How are you going to police it?
I don't know.
Everybody wants this. Oh, you can't do it. Well, how are you going to police it on a college campus?
The NFL's got no comment. I know that.
Right. Well, but how are you going to, how are you going to police?
Can they, I mean, the NFL has in the past issued sanctions for people's behavior in college.
They have, including Terrell Pryor.
You have to wonder what they do with this.
Yes. I had a couple of things I wanted to get to you. So Chuck Dillon, loyal listener, good friend, Dr. Chuck, he sent me an image of me sitting at this desk, and he said, you are going to always have back problems if you continue to sit like that. And I said, well, what can I do differently? Because I stand in the morning. And so it was incredible, this whole thing. He said, the first thing he writes, though, he goes, I would say to get the studio redesigned, but I think we all know the answer to that one. He goes, the rule of the 90s. Feet should be flat 90 on the floor, ankles at 90, seat height set to the knees are 90, hips are 90 with the head and shoulders over the hips. Elbows should be at your side at 90 degrees. So that's the first thing that he said. He went through all these other things. And he goes, let me just see. This one was funny. He goes, oh, my gosh, he even called you out at one point.
Yes, I like this guy.
Tried to find it. Yeah, it was good.
The good doctor.
Very good. It was something about so that I could have like a workplace. I could sue you for, like, workplace endangerment or something. It's great.
Doc, what the hell?
Coming for you, yeah. Yeah, I can't find it, but that's it. He goes. You sitting like this, like you won't get rid of your back pain. It's like smoking in front of a cardiologist.
Hey, I got
saying,
new.
Fix my heart disease.
I got new chairs.
Chairs are better.
These are much
They're
better.
Much, much better. They're much, much better. Much better.
I feel like I have a lot of 90-degree things happening here.
I don't. You're taller, so maybe you can get there from
a
leg.
Yeah, the desk is so high.
The desk is so high.
Yeah. Designed by a tall person, shocker.
Yeah.
Heightest.
As I tell all my patients, don't kill the messenger. I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you guys what they are. The good Lord didn't put chairs in the Garden of Eden.
Sure.
He's great. It was very, very good. It was very, very good. So that was very good. The other one I saw is we mentioned the Sherman tanks. Matt Goodwill tweeted us. He listens to us all the time. He was shocked when we mentioned the Sherman tanks. And he said, yes, indeed. It's out of Chillicothe. He said, yes, indeed, we do have a tank in front. So they do. They got a tank.
I need a tank that's active, though.
Like active surplus.
I want a tank leading the school buses onto another piece of property.
I like that. Like driving the tanks.
You want to drive your point home? Like
drive the tank on.
That's like the Worcester Fighting Scots College Division III football team.
Yeah.
They march in. Yep. They come in with bagpipers in front of
them.
Love it. Like Braveheart style. Like, you are dead before you kick off.
Like,
if you rolled in with a tank leading your school buses, it's over.
We played the Heart Butte Warriors on the Blackfeet Reservation. They were one of the teams we played growing up in high school. And you'd go on the Blackfeet Reservation and play them. And when they ran out of the locker room, they did so with 5 to 6 Chiefs in full regalia,
awesome,
pounding drums and dancing, and you went,
okay,
we're strangers in a strange land now, boys.
This is going to be a full day.
Yeah, that's how they did it. That was quite intimidating.
Yes, I imagine.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot of questions. Let's get right down to it. A lot of good ones today. Brady McBride, firing off a bunch here. Weird fear that you have.
Birds.
Well,
legitimately terrorized.
Yep.
Terrified. I can't even.
I don't think it's that weird. I don't like spiders.
I could get my... the thing with a spider, I can just eliminate the problem so
quickly. I'm talking like a big spider would be...
Even like a tarantula or something, it's a slap. It's done.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The idea of being asleep and having a spider crawling on me and eating me? Yeah. No.
Eh. Snakes.
I don't like heights. Snakes aren't great. Turns out as I get older, the less I like heights.
That's funny. That's interesting. I had never had a height problem in my life. And when the blonde and I got engaged, we did it so in wine country. And on the way over from San Francisco to go up to wine country, stayed the first night in San Francisco, we went over to wine country. And we went over the Golden Gate Bridge. And we started walking over it. And I went, I'm good. And she's like, what's wrong with you? You're not scared of heights. I'm like, I know. But, like, there's some. This ain't.
Well, and you can see through those grates.
Yeah. I'm like,
Yeah, no.
Like, roller coasters I'm fine with, but, like, that was – and ever since then, like, even, like, on ski lifts now sometimes, if it's got a huge elevation, like, I'm not crazy about this.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened.
Me neither.
Never used to bug me.
To me, it's more if I'm standing on it or walking on it. It's not – like, when I'm on going up Millennium Force
– that's fine.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't recommend turning around.
No, no, you can't do that.
Just
my kid
I'm
does
fine
that.
Turning around.
Of course you are.
No, no, but
the boys
like,
are like that. They're doing like selfies.
Oh, I never like, have oh. anything out. I don't have anything. Oh, I'm enjoying
hold
the
on,
ride.
You idiot.
Yeah,
hold on.
Wait, hold on to your phone.
Yeah.
Well, oh, I don't have your phone in your hand.
Yeah, don't have
like,
it.
Like, don't even have it on you.
He broke down this year on Millennium at the top, and they do like B-reel or something. He put it on his B-reel. I'm like, you're out of your mind. Like just sitting there at the top of it.
Yeah, because that is a steep.
That's steep, buddy.
And the good thing about Millennium is it's quick, it's fast.
Yeah,
like
it's
you
awesome.
Get to the top, it's not a like Magnum. You're chugging.
Magnum's forever.
I love it.
It's great.
Don't get me
it's
wrong.
Forever.
That is a
yeah.
jerky
that
coaster.
Is. That'll get you.
More from Brady. What kind of music do you guys listen to? Personally, I'm a Deadhead. Also love Zeppelin, Floyd, Steely Dan, and Sabbath.
I love everything.
Yeah, me too.
I like rap, rock, classic rap. Sad that the rap that I would consider like my yeah. rap is now classic.
I'm singing that, but they show Eminem, and they're like, "I'm like, oh, M, dude." And I'm like, classic rock.
Yeah.
M's classic rock
yeah,
at this
yeah,
point.
Basically
yeah,
is. Yeah.
No,
the oldies.
And
stuff.
I always make the point with the kids, like, music now is it truly is timeless. There was a time when it something felt like an era. Now it doesn't because they all of it's new to them.
Yep.
They just listen to songs. They don't have albums. They don't have CDs. Nothing like that. So they're not listening 1 through 12. There's no one song. You can put on something from the 90s, the 70s, the 80s, and to them, it's brand new.
Totally.
David Whalen, weirdest question you've had to ask an interviewee?
Someone's interviewing me, or I'm interviewing someone?
That we've had to ask someone.
There's none that was weird. Have you ever interviewed somebody and you know you have to ask a question and you're hesitant and you're like,
yes. Oh,
this is going to suck. I don't really want to do this. I'd rather avoid this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. Here, we don't have to do that much because no. it's.
Depending on if we add another name to the report, at least.
That could be a tough one. That would be a very tough one. Yeah. Yeah. That could be. I don't think I have. There's been times when I've had, like, in Columbus, whether it's, like, a Buckeye coach or something like that, and you feel like Urban, I remember specifically having to ask him something that I knew he was not going to like.
Yeah.
In a one-on-one situation. That's not necessarily fun.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I have to ask, coach after a bad loss. Like, I had to interview him after we lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
In that week, too. Yeah, you're not looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's not going to be a whole lot of fun.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
I'd say it's more... When I'm being interviewed, I feel like there are times when I'm certainly asked questions that are designed to try to get me in trouble.
I don't know who would ask you
I wonder
that.
Who would do
who
that.
Would do
who
that?
Would do such a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Tomorrow morning at 9? Chris
Not
Denny
week.
Tweets at the show. What position group needs the most attention this offseason?
Receiver.
We need a
stud.
If we all of a sudden could go with a stud, give me a DK Metcalf, give me a T. Higgins, that person, Amari and Elijah, I'm feeling real good, real excited.
Weapons. We need more weapons.
Well, we're going to get Nick Chubb back.
But not right. I don't think there's any chance, like August.
I don't know, dude.
He's an animal, but like, holy cow, really?
That was week two.
It's a shredded knee. I mean, he's Nick Chubb.
He's Nick Chubb.
Holy cow.
I'm not counting him out.
Yeah. No, I'm not either. I don't want that on
easier.
My.
Easier.
I don't want that.
Every day.
Got to get some weapons.
God, who made this mailbag graphic?
Griff? I just said
Griff.
That. Griff. Did he really?
Dude, it's electric.
I just guessed.
So good.
Yeah,
look at
I
that
love
mailbag.
It. I love it.
Kyle Benner, I know you probably can't answer, but give me some subtle hints if we'll ever get an orange jersey again.
I won't. No subtle hints. No, you won't.
I don't believe so. But I do believe there could be some changes coming.
Oh, baby. You got to remember, you're not the Oranges.
We're not.
You're the Browns.
Yeah.
I used to use that line all the time. We're not the Cleveland Oranges.
We're not the Cleveland Oranges.
I don't
understand.
Yeah.
What was – so we had him in that last uniform set, didn't we? Wasn't there an orange,
orange
one?
Orange over orange.
Orange over orange.
It was dreadful.
Tough look.
Well, with those were just bad.
Yeah, they were.
Johnny Boy 05, do you guys have any spins or little additions to cooking up a rack of ribs?
I mean, I think the I don't know if this is revolutionary, but I always pour a can of beer on them. Loosens them up pretty good. Always go a fresh can of beer on them.
Like in the process or to like in marinate the, it almost?
In the process. So season them up, can of beer, cook them, low temp, long hour.
I sous vide. I love sous vide my ribs.
Yeah. So it takes, I go like 250 for like 3 hours, and then I cover them for like the last hour. And then I put the whatever the sauce that concoction I make on, and then I finish them on the grill.
Yeah,
for the crispy.
I sous vide them basically. I put them, then I get my like put that bone sucking sauce rub. Yeah. They have a rub on there. I use that sous vide them, and then when I take them out, then I slather them my sauce on the grill. Get that.
You got to get the crisp on the
crisp
grill.
Char. Oh baby,
the carameling,
the caramelization.
That's right.
Love a dog today. How do you think the OSU QB room will be configured? Game one versus Akron. Hey, love a dog today. It doesn't matter. It's Akron.
That's well. I'll take for the first month. It won't matter.
I'll take this one.
Yep. Go ahead.
Quinn Ewers.
Crushing it
one
already.
One of the few people they didn't get in the portal.
JT Barrett.
Yeah. Do you want more? Or is that it?
No, that's all.
All right. This is what I think is going to happen.
Kyle Hamilton.
Will Howard is going to start.
Will Howard,
the kid from Kansas State, he's going to start. I think the other two quarterbacks that were on the roster last year will both transfer out in the spring window. So I think that would be Devin Brown and Lincoln Kienholz will both transfer out in the spring window in April. And then I think it'll be Julian Sain and Aaron Nolan, the two freshmen behind Will Howard. They're both – Sain is the number three overall player in the country, five-star quarterback out of California. Aaron Nolan is a five-star quarterback out of Georgia. So I think those two – their job will be to make sure those two stick around and battle – the way Burrow and Haskins did through next year as Howard plays with this ridiculously loaded roster, and then one of them will take over and the other one will transfer after that. That's the dream scenario.
Like, where would you put if you're ranking the quarterbacks and the starting quarterbacks in the country next year? Where's Howard?
20s.
Oh, so he's not like a...
Oh, no, he's fine.
Why don't they let one of these kids go?
Because you can't... They have the best running back room in the country. They have maybe the best receiver room in the country. They have... the best defense in the country. Like, they spent tens of millions of dollars on this roster.
But that's
last
what I'm saying.
Month,
so if you have the
because
number
they're
three,
18 years old,
number three player in the country,
you can't have an 18 year old in charge of that. Will Howard's 23 years old.
I know.
So he's
but
like, right, but he doesn't need to be. Like, they have
two
NFL backs. They have Quinshon Judkins, who's the best running back in the SEC the last.
So you
few
want
years,
him to be like,
and Travion Henderson. They want him to be JT Barrett
or a Krenzel.
He's more than that, but they want him to be like Barrett. Like,
okay.
Complete 65, 68% of your passes. Run some when
don't
needed.
Don't fuck it up.
Don't screw it up. You can't. It's too good of a roster to hand over to a true freshman.
Okay.
John McManus, best Hawkeye Pierce, Donald Sutherland or Alan Alda?
Sutherland. I like the movie more than the TV show. Go.
Why?
That was a bold.
The really? Movie's better than the movie's great. The TV show doesn't hold up. Watch the movie. It's awesome.
For what?
MASH. The movie MASH is better than the TV show. The movie's fun.
Well, the TV show wouldn't be on TV today.
There's the big N in the movie.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead.
No.
Hold on. He has a question.
What's happening at Texas with Ewers, who I do know his name, and Arch?
So right now there's been no souring from Arch in the process. Nobody thought Ewers would be back. Everybody thought he would go pro. He didn't. Malik Murphy, who was the other quarterback in the room there, he was a four-star kid. He transferred to Duke. So Arch is the backup. There is some talk down there that they're going to have like a competition in the spring, but I don't know how you could do that when Ewers could have gone pro. I talked to Paul Feinbaum about this morning. All indications are the man, like,
big
he's,
name drop.
He's excited about staying at Texas. The Mannings are committed to Texas. They view it as a long-term process that – If he sits for 2 years and plays for two, that's fine. Remember, Peyton came back and played his senior year? I don't know.
Why wouldn't he, Arch, be somebody that would go in the portal and come to Ohio State?
Well, there's no real room for – I mean, they shouldn't have taken – I don't know how they took Sain. I mean, they got too many guys in there now. But why doesn't he go into the portal? I guess it's just because they don't need the money. And he makes like $3 million in NIL at Texas anyway.
He becomes the Buckeyes, he could win three national championships and go
yeah
in a row.
Yeah. No, I don't. They're different. They don't need. There's no sense of urgency. They did this with Eli. Eli redshirted at Ole Miss and then played. He played his senior year, redshirt senior year at Ole Miss. Peyton played all 4 years at Tennessee. He didn't have to. He would have been the number one pick in the previous draft. They just, yep. I don't know, in a way, like that family is kind of just, like they still view Arch's grandpa, like his model is the one that they all still follow all these years later. Like,
I just think the kid wants to be playing.
I agree. I still think it's wild he ended up at Texas.
I'm just saying,
in a logjam at quarterback. Like, he could have gone to Alabama and started as a freshman for Saban. Could have gone to LSU and done the same. Could have done it at Ole Miss. Could have done it at Tennessee, where his uncles had connections. I don't know. It's different.
If he were in the portal, the Buckeyes would have taken him over Will Howard, right? Like,
yeah.
Not even a question.
Yes, I think so. He's a trickier prospect, though, in that he played, like, there is some criticism that it's name mostly with him. Like, but it's hard to say. Like, he played the same place Eli and Peyton did, small school, Isidore Newman in New Orleans. And there's some people that say, well, I don't know. Like, wasn't great in the spring game for Texas last year. So, I don't think he's a sure thing. Like, I think with Will Howard, you're getting a 23-year-old, essentially a pro quarterback.
He's a Joe Flacco.
That's it. He's a pro. That's what you get.
I got one final question here in our limited time. Sarah Kathleen.
All right.
I hope I didn't screw that up, Sarah.
I don't think you did.
Describe your perfect taco.
Mm.
Well, we'll have one in a few weeks. I don't know if you're going to be there for it, but I think you probably have it.
That's a good taco. That is not a perfect taco. It's really good. And I will be there.
The Al Pastor.
That's Monday night.
Give me a little Al Pastor with a corn tortilla, and everybody wins.
So, yes. My perfect one, though,
yep.
was at a little place down in Puerto Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta.
Pancho's Tacos. And it was Al Pastor sliced right off the thing into your warm corn tortilla.
Yep.
A habanero pineapple salsa with fresh habanero mixed in. It was the best taco I've ever had.
I love it. There you go. There's your mail. Good job out of the people on that one.
Jack Kay actually got
it. We didn't even have time to get to Bobby.
Nope.
We have to do Bobby later
tomorrow.
In the week. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow.
Run back another mailbag tomorrow.
Bobby.
So much more to come. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
So, you know, you do I try to do one for me, one for her on the series stuff. So
sure.
We had watched The Crown, and we hadn't watched the final season of it. So we started watching it last night. It's a tough watch with the Diana stuff, man.
Yeah.
Did you watch all that?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Agreed.
And I think because I lived through it and I remember where I was when I heard about that, it's like it's too close to home, man.
Agreed. Because it's real.
The other stuff felt like
you need to work in only murders in the building.
Yeah, I have that down.
Because they're 30-minute episodes.
Yeah,
it's Martin Short's unreal.
Yeah, like
Steve Martin's unreal.
I have that written down. It's on a list.
You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I got Outlander and then what's
Outlanders.
The wine one? That's heavy though. That's one.
Drops
for me.
Of God is awesome.
Drops of God. So those are the ones I got. All right, very good. The Next Level's coming up next. We're back tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.